Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Began last week speaking from Ephesians chapter 1 on the theme of prayer. And I thought I might do a couple more lessons on prayer. There's an important section on prayer in Luke chapter 11. In fact, in the entire Gospel of Luke, prayer is one of the priorities that Luke makes sure that he points out that Jesus was involved in. And so way more times in Luke than in really all the other Gospels combined, I think, Luke makes sure to point out that Jesus went off to pray, that he did this as a habit, that he had the habit of praying at critical moments of his life or his ministry. And so in Luke, we really see a picture of Jesus as a man of prayer. But in two sections in Luke, in chapter 11 and then again in chapter 18, there are a couple of teaching times that Jesus provides where he goes through and beyond giving just his example of prayer, he gives a couple of specific teachings about prayer. And so I thought it would be helpful for us to take a look at those, at least in chapter 11. And so today we'll look at chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, and then the next lesson we'll finish that section. So it'll be chapter 11, verse 5 through verse 13. And we'll take a look at these sections, see what Jesus has to say about prayer. I think most of us struggle with prayer, at least at different times. We know that in prayer we have the ability to communicate with God, to speak directly to Him, to share our deepest thoughts and fears and requests and so on. And yet, there's something about prayer that maybe we feel like it's too easy, or because we don't directly hear back from God, sometimes we feel strange maybe trying to speak and so on. And so I think in different ways and at different times we struggle with it. So let's take a look at verses 1 through 4 and see what Jesus says about prayer. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage that we have, that Jesus gave to us, this very short prayer that he told us to pray when we feel as though we need to learn how to pray. I pray, God, that you would encourage us and strengthen us and help us to realize the power that we have in prayer, the ability that we have to communicate directly with you. And I pray, God, that we would not feel wary about this or any kind of trepidation, but that you would help us to know that you are there, you are waiting to hear from us, and you listen to everything that we desire to share with you. This morning, God, as we look at this brief passage, I pray that you'd help us to see the simplicity that's in it. Help us to know, God, that we don't have to have long prayers. We don't have to have, by our own standards, even very deep prayers. It's okay, God, for us to learn simply to trust on you and to depend on you and to acknowledge that in our prayers, to reach out to you in trust and humility and dependence, knowing, God, that you are our Father, that you provide us with everything that we need, that you help us, that you guide us, that you're ready to do that, and that you want to do that for us, God. Help us to grow in our relationship with you through prayer. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful that Jesus left an example of prayer, that he taught about this, that he left us this example that we can use for ourselves. We thank you for Jesus, and we offer this prayer in his name. Amen. How many have ever had a time where you felt like you needed to pray about something, but you weren't really sure what to say or how to pray about it? Maybe you couldn't find the words, you know, and sometimes in times of illnesses or major events. We don't know how to pray because in some cases we feel a little bit presumptuous asking God for certain things. Even though we know that he's going to hear us, we struggle with actually voicing those things, and we don't know how to pray. Or sometimes we've prayed earnestly and fervently for a particular result, and that result didn't come. And we're not always sure how to process that. And it can lead us to question whether we should have prayed for it in the first place, maybe whether we prayed the right thing. Did we somehow mess up the prayer? Did we offend God with the prayer? Why didn't he answer it? Especially when we look around and we seem to see at least other people's prayers being answered and wondering why it is that ours weren't answered. And sometimes when that happens, we're not sure how to address God. We're not sure, again, what to ask for, how to approach him, whether certain requests are appropriate or whatnot. And it can lead to all sorts of different questions. Sometimes we wonder even about the words that we use. Did I address God the right way? Did I spend enough time praising him or thanking him for things before I jumped into the requests I had? Did I have too many requests and so on? And sometimes we just really overthink prayer. And as I said at the beginning, we know that prayer is an avenue of communication with God. We know that God loves us. We know that God wants to hear from us. We know that we can ask him for anything, that we can tell him anything. But sometimes we just struggle with that. And sometimes we don't know, or we feel like we don't know exactly how to reach out to God, how to connect with him the way that we know we want to. You know, I've talked a lot about my own experiences of prayer growing up, and I remember at different times feeling as though I had to pray at a certain time, like before a meal or before bed. If I didn't pray before I went to sleep, then I thought God was going to be upset with me and so on. And we fall into these habits, we fall into these patterns where prayer becomes something that's more mechanical for us. It's more of a process than really what God intends. And because we think of prayer that way, we struggle with it. And sometimes we even think that the prayer has to be exactly the way that we hear it at church sometimes when different guys pray. But when we go back to the Bible, we see all manner of different prayers. And we see some longer prayers. We see prayers for spiritual needs. We see prayers for physical needs. We see even, in some cases, just very short prayers. We go to some of the Psalms, and the writer says, "Lord, help me." And then he goes on to detail all the different reasons why he needs help. But his prayer was really that simple. It was just a cry to God for help. And it was good enough for him to say to God, "Lord, help me." But I want us to think about the times that we struggle with knowing what to pray for. And sometimes when we don't know what to pray for, it makes us feel as though we don't know how to pray. And if you've ever really been there, that can be a really big struggle for somebody who loves God to feel as though, "I don't know how to connect with God. I don't know how to speak to God. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get this to him." And like I said, even though probably if we sat down and talked about it, we would all believe that we can simply speak to God, but it's just when we get in that moment, when we really feel down or when we really feel like something major is happening, we don't know how to process it, for some reason, when we most need prayer, it seems to be that time when we most struggle with prayer. And so our uncertainty with prayer makes us feel uncomfortable, and so we pray less. When we should be praying more, we tend to pray less because we're just not sure how to make that connection or what to say, and we begin to feel doubt about it. Whether it's feeling doubt that God is hearing us and answering us, or whether it's feeling doubt because maybe you don't feel like you're good enough to actually speak to God and have him hear what it is that you really feel, what it is that you really want to communicate with him. So whether it's doubt or uncertainty, whatever the case may be, when we struggle with prayer, when we feel like we're not making that connection, we find ourselves in a difficult spot. Because we want that connection with God, and even if we rationally know it's there, emotionally we don't feel it. And so prayer becomes a struggle for us about how do we overcome what we're struggling with to actually reach out to God the way that we know we can, but we just feel blocked in doing. Has anybody ever felt that? It's a struggle. And I believe that when we go back to the Bible, there's so much in here that teaches us about how easy and simple it is for us to connect with God, because that's what God wants. He wants his people to be able to go to him freely, without fear, without doubt, without anxiety, and to be able to pray to him, to speak to him about what we really need. And prayer, see, here's the thing. Prayer, it's not always about asking God for something that we're going to get. And when we make that one simple shift, I think that we'll understand prayer a lot better. Prayer is about speaking to God about what we think we need, and then letting him answer that prayer as he, in his infinite knowledge and wisdom, knows best. And then for us, the struggle sometimes is understanding that God is answering the prayer with what we really need, rather than with what we feel we need. And that's why when we look at this passage this morning, just a very short, very simple prayer. There's not a lot here. You could pray this prayer the way Jesus gave it to us in probably about 15 seconds. There's not a lot there, but it's loaded because it covers so much ground. It covers everything that we could ever need in our relationship with God, and it does it in a very simple way that teaches us how to depend upon God, how to trust him for everything, how to trust him with and for what we really need. And ultimately, that's what prayer is. See, we really think about prayer incorrectly when we think about it in terms of simply asking God for things. Maybe he'll answer, maybe he won't. If I get the words right, I've got a better shot or whatever. We need to let go of that kind of thinking, and we need to begin to understand prayer in terms of a relationship with God. See, when we talk to anybody else, whether it's a close friend or a spouse or whatever the case may be, we all know that we don't simply ask that person for things all the time. And it's okay for us to simply tell that person how we really feel about something. And with God, it's the same way. And with God, really, it's even better, because we know that as we speak to God and pray to him, that he's working to give us what it is that we really need in a way that many times we just can't do for each other. We want to, we yearn to, but sometimes we have needs that we just can't meet for each other. But God can meet those needs. So take a look at how the passage begins. Take a look at what's happening. You know, I pointed out at the beginning that in Luke, we get a picture of Jesus being a man of prayer. And so in this section, the first of two in Luke, where Jesus actually spends some time teaching about prayer, it shouldn't be surprising to us to see that the narrative comment here is that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And that's all Luke says about that, because that's all we need to know about that. We want to think of Jesus as somebody who prayed. And even though we know that Jesus was the Son of God, we see that he was not separated from God to the point at which he felt he didn't need to pray. Jesus himself needed to maintain that connection with God. Jesus himself needed to find that time, make that time to go off and pray to God to maintain that relationship. If Jesus needed to do that, how much more do we need to be people that do that? And so we see that Jesus was praying in a certain place, probably by a certain place. all Luke means is they knew where he was. He had a place where he went to pray. Wherever it was, that's what he did. He went off to certain places as a habit to pray. And so the disciples noticed this. And they realized that Jesus was a man of prayer. They realized that he had a connection with God that they wanted. And so they waited until he finished praying, and they went up and asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Now, the reason that they bring John into that is because, obviously, Jewish leaders, folks that were renowned and so on, had people that would follow them that asked questions about, why do you pray like that? Or why did you make that decision? And so they would ask. And so evidently John the Baptist had taught his disciples how to pray. Jesus' disciples were merely at this time observing him praying. But they liked what they saw. And so they asked him, "Teach us how to pray." And so they went to Jesus with that request. So notice that anything that Jesus says here is not, he's not forcing anything upon the disciples. They had a desire to learn how to pray because of what they saw in him. So we can know that when we have a deep yearning and desire to pray, or to learn how to pray better, or to learn how to come closer to God through prayer, that Jesus is completely trustworthy to be our guide for that. And so what he's going to say here in response to the request of the disciples is something that we can learn from and we can trust. Because when his own disciples asked him, notice they didn't just say, "What were you praying about?" And he went through some things. They asked, "Teach us to pray." And so he did. And so he said in verse 2, "When you pray, say." And so really what he was doing there was giving them a model prayer. And I know some people get uncomfortable. They don't want to recite this prayer word for word. I think we can. I mean, Jesus gave it to us as a prayer. I don't think we want to get to the point where we don't even think about what's being said. But when Jesus says, "When you pray, say," and then he gives us this thing, these sentences as a model prayer, it's important for us to realize that it's okay for us to say these things. Because we also realize that when we say these things, we are praying the very things that Jesus found most important to give to his disciples when they said, "Teach us to pray." How can we do any better than to use the very words that Jesus gave his disciples when they said, "Teach us to pray"? And so Jesus, he taught them about prayer through his example first, that prayer was a priority. And I think we can learn all sorts of things from that. Again, when we look at his example, we realize that he prayed as a habit. He went to a certain place, and maybe we can think about how can we cultivate some time in our lives for prayer. Maybe we need to find a certain place. Maybe it's for some of us, maybe as we drive into work, that's a time that we can set aside every day to have some time in prayer. Maybe on our breaks, there's a certain room we can go to, or maybe even to our car, take some time out to pray there. We don't need a lot of time. All we need is the desire to connect with God and then to speak to him out of that desire. And I think what we see with Jesus is that we need to make time for prayer, and that we need to practice humility in prayer. Again, when we see Jesus himself making the kind of commitment that he made for prayer, I think we see an example of humility that we want to follow in our own lives. And then Jesus gives them this prayer. So he teaches them by example, and then he teaches them by giving them something that they can actually use, something very practical. He says, "When you pray, say," and then he gives him this template for prayer that fits with all of his priorities. So let's look at what Jesus says here, just very briefly. These few sentences help us to learn simplicity in prayer, dependence upon God and trust in God in prayer. So he teaches us how to address God. He gives us the title Father. Okay, we know, of course, that God was Jesus' Father, but when the disciples say, teach us how to pray, Jesus says, when you pray, say this, begin addressing God as Father. That's how we want to come to know God. The rest of this prayer is seen in the context of God's fatherhood over us. We are his children, and so God desires to be a father to us, who provides for us, who gives us what we need, and who guides us and protects us. The whole rest of the prayer is understood in terms of God being our Father. And so that's why Jesus begins by saying Father. And then he goes on to teach us about respecting God. He says, hallowed be your name. We always want to remember with humility who we are, and that we call out to the God who's our Father, but we're also calling out to the God who is creator of the universe. And we remember with respect who we are. We don't go before God making demands. That's not befitting of somebody who calls God Father. We don't go making demands or whatever the case may be. We go before God with humility, recognizing him as our Father, whose name is to be hallowed. His name is hallowed. And then Jesus says, your kingdom come. And all he's asking for there is that God's work would be done in the world, and that we would be able to participate in bringing about his work to completion. That when we think about how God is bringing about the completion of his kingdom, we pray that that would be done, but that when we pray that, we acknowledge that we have a role to play in that as well. Because we are God's children, and we want the will of the Father to be done. So notice that we've already covered half of this prayer. And what have we looked at so far? Recognizing who God is in our lives. Recognizing the respect that we ought to have for him. Recognizing that he has a bigger agenda than what we often imagine or can remember. But when we pray this kind of a prayer, it reminds us of who we are in that bigger picture. And then it's within that context when we begin to see some more specific needs that we pray for. And so Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread. But notice that request comes about after we understand that God is bringing his kingdom to completion, that he's bringing his work in the world towards an end. And we participate in that. Within that participation, we do have some physical needs. And so Jesus says, now you pray for those things. But the prayer is to give us our daily bread. And so the prayer helps us to learn that our lives are lived day by day under the provision of God. We trust in him daily. We trust in him today. Tomorrow we pray that prayer of trust again. And the day after that we pray that prayer of trust again. We don't ask God, give us today our bread for the month. Because when that happens, when we receive that kind of provision, sometimes we begin to think that we did that for ourselves. And we have plenty, and we don't need God. Or at least thoughts of him depart from our mind because we're used to providing for ourselves. But Jesus says, pray that God would give you your daily bread. Because every day we wake up looking to put our trust in him on that daily basis. And then forgiveness comes in. You know, we always want to be aware that we still continue to sin. But we know that God forgives us. But notice how God ties our own forgiveness in to the forgiveness that we need to share with other people. And he links that with our relationships with one another. Because he reminds us that while we're praying to God, we don't exist independently of one another. that all believers are praying to God. All of us are trying to draw closer to Him. And sometimes the reason that we struggle with prayer, even though despite all the reasons I mentioned at the beginning, sometimes the reason why we struggle with prayer is because we're just not getting along with other people. And we need to forgive them and they need to forgive us. And it's hypocritical for us to hold a grudge with somebody else and then ask God to forgive us. And so Jesus reminds us of the spiritual obligations that we have towards one another. And then he closes the prayer out by saying that we ought to pray that God would lead us not into temptation. That God would guide us. That he would lead us away from those things that distract us so that we're able to do his will. See, if we're going to pray for his kingdom to come, then we need to pray that we'll be active participants in that work. But we can't do that if we're falling into temptation every time we turn around. So Jesus says, pray to God that he'll help you and lead you away from that, guide you away from that. So he covers those six simple things. Every single one of which goes back to teaching us to depend on God and to trust in him. And so maybe as we pray, some of the things that we can think about are these. How do I trust God as my Father? How do I know him as my Father? How do I honor and glorify God's name in my life? How do I yearn for God's kingdom to come to completion? And how do I do my part within that to help, to participate, to further his will in the world? Do I pray for what I need or for what I want? Do I waste what God has given to me? Am I generous to other people? What sins do I need to be forgiven of? Do I forgive others? Am I living in a godly way towards others? Do I try to avoid temptation? Or do I invite it in because of how I live? See, we can ask questions like that that get to the heart of what this prayer is really about. And then we can take our answers to those questions and we can pray about them. And in the praying about those things, we can find ourselves being drawn closer to God. Living out what this prayer is really about. I mean, we can use this verbatim or we can use it as a series of categories. However it is that we use it, let's pray it because that's what Jesus told us to do. And when we pray with this kind of simplicity and humility, we're praying with Jesus' own priorities. And when we pray with his priorities, we're learning to depend on God and to trust him more. And that's all that prayer is about. That's all that prayer is about. Learning to trust God more. So I encourage you this week, think about these things. Maybe make a few lists. Ask yourself some questions. Maybe even just pray this the way it is. Get used to those ideas. Get used to trusting God. Get used to looking at him as your Father. Get used to trusting him day by day instead of only when you have a need that you're aware of. Maybe find someone else to pray with. In Matthew, when Jesus gives this prayer, he says, "Our Father." Because he reminds us that when we pray to God, we pray as a family, as a community. And so maybe you find someone else to pray with. Whatever you do, I want to encourage you to pray. Draw closer to God this week through prayer. Learn to trust him more. Learn to depend on him more. Every step you take towards God, he's there moving towards you. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And he promises to be with us at all times and in every way. If you're here this morning and need to respond, we didn't talk a lot about the gospel this morning, but we know that even in this prayer, Jesus calls upon us to ask God for forgiveness. We know that God gives us forgiveness through Jesus. He died for our sins. We can be baptized into his name, receive the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and be added to the church. Or maybe as we've talked about prayer this morning, you have a specific need that we can pray for. If you need to respond in any form this morning, we encourage you to let us know what your need is by coming forward as we stand and sing.